Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, Which Adam is for you? Based on these verses from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of another man, Jesus Christ? I invite you to follow your sermon outline provided for you on your worship handout this morning as we consider our theme, Which Adam is for You? Well, I clearly remember my first ever date with a girl in high school. And I have Beverly's permission to share this story. This is way before Beverly. It was with a girl named Kim. Kim was a cute little blonde. And she had a twin sister named Chris. And I didn't learn until quite later that they had quite a sense of humor. I came to the door and knocked upon the door. And there stood Kim. At least I thought it was Kim because I still couldn't tell them apart. And she invited me into the living room to sit down. I sat upon the couch and we began to have a nice conversation. And as I tried to get a little closer on the couch, all of a sudden she had something she had to do. So off to the kitchen she went. In a few moments she came back down, sat up with me on the couch, and we kept visiting. But I noticed whenever I tried to get a little closer, all of a sudden she had something else to do. So she left the room again and did something else and came back. This went on for a couple of times until finally I heard some giggling in the kitchen. And then out to the living room where I sat came two identically dressed girls, and they had to have me make a choice. Which was Kim? Which was Chris? I couldn't tell them apart. They'd been doing this the whole evening thinking it was pretty funny. And now I had a choice to make. Well, our sermon text from Romans, wouldn't you like to have that problem, Ruel? Yeah. Our sermon text from Romans chapter 5 talks about twins, in a sense. It talks about sin coming into the world through one man and God's grace coming into the world through one man. These two men have been called the old Adam and the new Adam. They are the original Adam through whom sin came into this world by his rebellion in creation's garden, and the new Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, who brought forgiveness for this rebellion and sin. But in Holy Scripture, the old Adam can also refer to that sinful person inside each of us. This morning, don't waste any time looking at your neighbor, looking to your own heart. The old Adam can also refer to that person in each of us who continues to sin and rebel against God. And Jesus continues to be the new Adam who forgives our sin and shows us a new way to live. Just like I had to choose between those two twins on that first date in high school, today in our lives, there's a choice set before us. Will we choose to follow the old Adam or the new Adam? Which Adam is for you? Consider the person of Adam number one. You know him from Genesis chapter 1 and 2, specially created by God, specially formed by God out of the dust of earth. Compared to all the other creation, only God breathed into his nostrils personally the breath of life. And Adam lived in harmony with God. He walked with God. He talked with God. But old Adam number one shattered that harmony when he rebelled against the word of the Lord and listened to the lies of that liar, that deceiver, that snake in the grass, Satan himself. The old Adam broke the heart of God, hurt himself, and infected mankind. infected your life and mine with the plague that continues today, and we call that original sin. Consider the person of Adam, number two. This is your dear Lord Jesus Christ. He was given to our sinful world as a gift of love. He was given to our sinful world as a cure for the disease the old Adam brought into it. You know that beautiful passage from the third chapter of John, the 16th verse, that talks about this wonderful gift. Why don't you say it with me? For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Into that manger of Bethlehem, God Himself placed that precious gift for all mankind, the baby Jesus. And the baby Jesus, who grew to be our Savior Jesus, came to fix the problem caused by the first Adam. He grew up and He lived in perfect harmony with His Heavenly Father, in perfect obedience to His Father in heaven. He lived a life without sin. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says about this second Adam, Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. No, we have a high priest who has been tempted in all ways as we have, and yet He is without sin. Now consider the product of Adam number one, the old Adam inside each of us that's in rebellion against God and sins daily. My friends, if you looked into the mirror honestly this morning, first you would confess with me, my hair is not messed up. But then you must also confess that you are a sinner. That you have rebelled against God. You have hurt yourselves. You have hurt others. Now, this truth was pointed out to me very clearly by a person who's even completely outside the church. A few years ago, I was sitting on the Citizens Advisory Council for the RCMP. And a constable was making a presentation that day. Let me share the quote he made to the Citizens Advisory Council. This RCMP officer said, and I quote, "As an officer of the law for many years, it is my opinion that the root cause of many of the problems I deal with on a daily basis is a spiritual problem. People today have cut themselves off from God, and the results are all around us. And the results are what fill my day. The old Adam in each of us derails our life with God, gets us off track, gets us to a place in our life we don't want to go, gets us to be a person we don't want to be." Did you know that St. Paul shared that same struggle that you and I share? Listen to the words of this struggle St. Paul had with his own old Adam. Romans 7. Paul says, "For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. For the good that I wish, I do not do. But I practice the very evil I do not wish. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this?" Not only does the old Adam derail our life with God, he finally destroys our life with God. Romans 5, verse 12, our text for today says this, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men." My friends, we're in a pickle. We're in a predicament. Paul says, "Who will set me free from this body of death?" But then he says at the end of chapter 7, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, my Lord." Now, let's consider the product of the second Adam, our dear Lord Jesus. In Romans 5, we find the contrast between what the first Adam has done to us and what the second Adam, Jesus, has done for us. Listen for this contrast now as I read Romans chapter 5. As I read these verses, listen to the contrast between Adam number 1 and Jesus, Adam number 2. Here's the contrast. For if by the transgression of the one man many died, how much more did the grace of God by the other man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many? So then, as through the transgression of one man there resulted condemnation to all, even so through an act of righteousness by one man there resulted for justification of life for all. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. This entire passage is a commentary on what Jesus, the second Adam, did for all of us on Calvary's cross. Now take a journey with me this morning, won't you? That old hymn asked the question, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Take an imaginary journey with me to the foot of the Mount of Calvary as you see our precious Lord Jesus crying out in agony and pain for you and for me and for our sin and for the sins of the world. For you on the cross, Jesus, the second Adam, undid what the rebellious first Adam did for us in the garden. Jesus, the new Adam, overturned the sin and death that was introduced by Adam number 1. Jesus, the new Adam, exchanged your deserved condemnation for the righteousness and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. The grace of God in the new Adam of Jesus at the cross obliterates and erases the rebellion of the new Adam. So now in Romans 8, verse 1, a passage that will be in my funeral service, listen to what it says. Because of Jesus, the new Adam, when God, the Almighty, perfect Heavenly Father, looks down upon you, He no longer sees the old Adam in you. He no longer sees the filth of your sin. He only sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the new Adam, given to you by grace. Romans 8, 1 says, "Now therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, dressed with the robes of righteousness, covered with the new Adam. The Father only sees Jesus' perfection." And so when He looks down from the cross and sees Gretchen Schellenberg, when He looks down from the cross and sees Eldon, when He looks down from the cross and sees Madison, all He sees is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the new Adam. By the way, that's why pastors wear white robes Sunday after Sunday. It's not because we have nothing else to wear. It's an object lesson to remind us through our baptisms we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. The old Adam has been kicked out. The Father only sees in you, Mr. Pelling, the new Adam of Jesus. Amazing. And what's more, any of us old Adams here this morning who place our trust in Jesus Christ become what God promises will become, His beloved children. And every barrier between a sinful person and a holy God has been washed away and broken down because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Every barrier has been broken down. This brings us to the conclusion of our sermon. We rounded third. We're heading toward home now. During a past war, a soldier died, and his two army buddies wanted to give him a proper burial. They found a cemetery in a nearby village, and it happened to be a Roman Catholic cemetery. And the dead man was a Baptist. And when they asked the priest if they could bury his buddy in the cemetery, the priest said that he could not by regulation, since he wasn't a Catholic. But when the priest saw the disappointment in the young soldier's eyes, he told them that they could bury their buddy outside the fence of the cemetery. And this was done. But then many months passed, and the soldiers went through that village again. And they came to visit the grave, but try as they couldn't find it. So they went to the home of the priest and asked him, and he said, after they left, he couldn't sleep. He didn't feel right about burying their friend outside the fence. So at night, this kindly priest got up and he moved the fence to include the dead soldier. My friends, in Jesus Christ, the new Adam, and because of His work for us upon the cross, God, for your sake, has moved the fence. You are no longer outside the pale of God's mercy. We sinners have been forgiven. We have been made His children. The fence of sin and death erected by that old Adam has been torn down. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, our new Adam. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We now worship our Lord with His offerings.